Just a short reflection on this element of the gospel as we begin our worship service, that God is love. Who is God to you? If you kind of close your eyes and think God, what comes to mind? I think for some of us, maybe a parent figure, maybe a teacher, maybe an angry old man with long white hair and a long white beard. I think for me, sometimes if I had to pick one image, it's of a coach. Someone who kind of gives me instruction and then tells me, go, go, do it kind of thing. God has many features: justice, mercy, purity, power. But all of those, the scriptures tell us, are wrapped up in the vessel of love. As God, or as St. Augustine once said about who God is, the familiar formula of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Augustine said, God is the lover, the beloved, and love itself. We do need to define love. And here's how I would define it. Love is a wholehearted passion for the ultimate good and joy of the beloved. I'll say that again. Love is a wholehearted passion for the ultimate good and joy of the beloved. And so this, I think, helps us to answer some of life's biggest questions. Why did God create the world? Because love desires to be shared. God desired to expand the circle of his love and his welcome. Why would God come to this earth? Why would God walk among us? Why would God go to the cross and raise Jesus Christ from the dead? Why would God send his Holy Spirit to live and dwell in and among a group of people like us? Because God is love. And God cannot act in any way other than in love. That's who God is. And friends, this is good news. God could be many other things, but thankfully and gloriously, God is love. This is the beauty of the gospel. God is for us. And this follows from that first truth that God is love. God is for us. For some of us, we might feel like God is kind of up in the sky, just waiting for us to trip up. Or maybe you've seen that old Far Side comic where God is at his computer and pressing buttons and kind of gleefully laughing as a piano is about to fall on someone. God is not that God. God is for us. And God will do whatever it takes so that we can have life, so that we can come alive, so that we can have what Jesus calls abundant life. Now, this does not always mean that God is for our desires. God does not just want to give us everything we want. No good parent gives their child everything they want. But it's not because God is not for us. You see, love does not coerce us. And so we have the freedom to choose the way of life, the way of death. And so often we choose the things that ultimately bring damage to ourselves and others. But the story that we have, the gospel story, is about a God who displays his unfailing love again and again for the sake of the people that he loves, and consistently, persistently invites us to do, to live for what is best. And what is best for us is to be near to God. What is best for us is to walk daily with God. What is best for us is to breathe in the breath of life that God provides for us. Because God is passionately committed to our ultimate good and joy. And for that, God will give us himself, because God is for us. And that is good news. That is the beauty of the gospel. Amen? Amen. God forgives us. Because as we mentioned, in spite of God's persistent love for us, not all is as it should be. Am I right? In your life, maybe? I'm sure, if your life is anything like mine. In the world around us, we know that not all is as it should be. And that is often because we, as persistently as God loves us, we persistently choose our own ways and thoughts above God's. And God's ways and God's thoughts are always wiser, are always better for us. So it's not that God has turned his back on us and said, forget it, I've had it with these people. It's that we have a habit, a bad habit, of turning our backs on God. And so instead of life, so often we experience death. Instead of peace, we experience violence. Instead of love, we so often live in self-centeredness. But the gospel story then brings us to Jesus. Jesus, who came to earth to be God's message of love and grace to us. A very embodiment of forgiveness for the people who, even as we see in Jesus' life, kept turning their backs. Jesus, who took our sin, which is what the Bible calls that impulse we have to turn away and do things our own way. Jesus, who took our sin to the cross and just left it in the grave, so that there could be nothing that would keep us from the fullness of joy that we have in the presence of God. And so this is the good news. At the cross, Jesus receives the just demands of human sin and offers to us God's forgiveness. Jesus pays the debt we could ever afford to pay and offers us the riches of the glorious inheritance of God's love. This, friends, is the beauty of the gospel. Amen? Amen. We haven't done too much deep study of these scriptures this morning, but I want you to notice this one thing, the tense of the verb in this sentence. By his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He has given us a new birth. You see, when our eyes are open to know that God is lovingly for us and that Jesus has whisked away the baggage of sin from our lives, we see that we have also been born into a new life. And this is not something we have to wait for. You know, we kind of struggle through existence and then we die and finally we get to experience new birth and heaven and all of these good things. No, these are gifts that God has given us now. He has given us new birth into a living hope. How? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This is the gospel that the earliest Christians believed. They believed that what God did for Jesus in bringing him from death into life, God was going to do for the whole of creation and for each one of us. Bring us life. Bring life wherever there is death. And this process of resurrection has already begun. We have been given a fresh start. We do not have to live lives that are driven by fear or anger or insecurity or hopelessness or lostness. Instead, we have resurrection lives. We have lives that can be shaped and driven not by fear but by love. Not by despair but by hope. Not by lostness or feeling insignificant, but by purpose, which we'll get to in just a few minutes. These are the new lives that we can live right now. See, being a Christian isn't about trying to win a battle. It's about knowing that the battle has already been won when Jesus walked out of that tomb on Easter morning. And being a Christian is about living in that reality. That God, the God who is love, has been victorious over everything else that brings us down in this world, and that we are invited to live as a part of that. This, friends, is the beauty of the gospel. Amen? Amen. God calls us, and this is good news. It's been said that every age has their particular core struggle. For some ages, it's guilt. For some ages, it's shame. For some ages, it's fear of death. And it's been said that in this age, in this era, for this generation, the generation probably over the last, about my lifetime, that the greatest, the core struggle is purposelessness or lostness. Where do we belong? What is our purpose in life? And so it's good news to know that when we talk about new life, when we talk about new birth, when we talk about God's love for us and all of these things, that what God is doing when He bestows all of these gifts on us is He also gives us a purpose. He also calls us. Our life becomes very clearly about something very specific. And that brings us right back to the beginning of the service, where we said that God is love, which means that God is passionately committed to the ultimate good and joy of the beloved. That's our purpose. To be like God. Not to have great airs of our grandeur and holiness and all of these things like God is, but to be like God in that we are defined by love. That we are passionately committed to the ultimate good and joy of whomever God puts in our path. When I wake up in the morning, am I committed, passionately committed to the ultimate good and joy of my wife and my children? When I go to a restaurant, am I there just to consume food, or am I passionately committed to the good and joy of those who work there, who are serving me? When I go to work, am I passionately committed to the ultimate good and joy of my coworkers and of the people I serve, whoever those may be? It is truly a remarkable thing that God, who created the universe and the universes, would invite us for some reason to join in on His work. Why? Why? If I'm putting together, I have a couple of things to put together. I have an IKEA bookcase to put together in the next couple of weeks and a desk. And I have no good reason to really ask Leah and Asher to help me with those tasks. In fact, I could think of good reasons to not have them help me with those tasks, right? But you know what? When I get the hammer or whatever, you know, Swedish tools out to put those things together, they're going to be all over me. And they're going to want to help. And they're going to want to turn the wrench, and they're going to want to hand me pieces, and I'm going to say, please help me. Because that's what love is and does. It invites the beloved to share in the work that we do, in the good, fulfilling work that we do, so that when we are done with those bookshelves and desks, we will all stand back and say, it is good. We made that, and it's good. And there's this great story that Jesus tells about a master and his servants who one day come to the end of this project that they were working on, and the master says to the servants, well done, good and faithful servants. Come and share in my happiness. And that is the great promise. That as we find our purpose, you know, it's not so specific to be confining. It's simply to love. As we find our purpose in whatever that looks like for us, fixing cars or being a pastor or making food or inviting neighbors into our house or whatever the work is that we do, that we do it in love. And as we do it, one day we will get to look back and say, standing next to Jesus with us, it is good. We did that. And that's a good thing. So friends, it is good news that God has called us. He's called us to be ambassadors of Christ, to be the hands and the feet and the mouth, the voice of Jesus Christ in this world, sharing this message that God is love and that God is for us and that our sins have been forgiven by Jesus on the cross and that we have been made new in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's our work. In whatever ways God has given us to do it, that is what we do. Friends, this is good news. This is the beauty of the gospel. Amen? Amen. Amen.